This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Michael Sacca. So today we talk to Thomas Schneider, who has had an amazing entrepreneurial journey. He started a record label that was bought by Warner Music. He ran marketing campaigns for Richard Branson and Virgin Records. He then decided to build a renewable energy company, took that company public and sold it. And now, with Kinkster Inc., he's helping companies raise equity capital. And he's doing that by opening up his own Rolodex and matching investors to companies. This is something that every young business potentially struggles with if they're going out to raise money. And his goal is to reduce the friction there. Let's make it easier. Let's get you back onto building your business. If you're looking to potentially raise, or you're interested in how you're raising, what you look at, this is the episode for you. Thomas has done it time and time again. And he kind of gives us a little insight into what his experiences were like with it, even in an industry like renewable energy, where he didn't know anything going in, and he had to quickly educate himself about the industry, the terminology, all to go pitch investors who he had to convince that he was worth investing in this. A fascinating episode. Let's get into it. Before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Hover takes all the hassle and friction out of registering your next domain name. And if you don't believe me, just ask my wife, Carmen.
Hey, babe.
Yeah?
I need a new website.
All right, well, you need to get a domain name.
How do I do that?
Do you have a domain name?
Yes. No.
No.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I need one.
Just use my Hover account.
What's a Hover?
So Hover, H-O-V-E-R, .com.
Okay.
And just search for whatever domain you want.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that.
Go to hover.com, get 10% off your entire first purchase by using the code SOEASY. That's hover.com and the code SOEASY.
CodeShip makes continuous delivery simple and easy. For those of you just getting started, CodeShip has a generous free plan with 5 private projects included and 100 builds per month. Not enough? You get 20% off 3 months just for being a RocketShip listener. Plus, the team over at CodeShip spent the past few months talking to customers and just launched a complete redesign of their app with better usability. Go to codeship.com/rocketship to sign up today.
Customer.io is a modern email platform built for startups. Go to customer.io/rocketship to start sending emails that convert.
Tell me a bit about Kickster Inc.
Well, we're a small team of entrepreneurs. We've been entrepreneurs since we can remember. I think I was about 17 years old when I had my first business. It was a record label in Montreal, and that grew to become a larger company and ended up selling that to Warner Music.
Nice.
Then ended up going into marketing and advertising. So Richard Branson, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, these were clients that I did all the marketing and the product launches for.
Wow.
We got into TV production, and ultimately when the lights went out, I think it was in 2003, across the Northeastern Seaboard, I decided to start a renewable energy company that developed wind farms and solar parks. That business grew. We developed a portfolio of about $2.3 billion worth of wind and solar assets and essentially took that company public, sold it. We ended up selling to a NASDAQ-listed company and made a lot of money. And my entrepreneur partners are also very successful. And if we put it all together, we've probably launched about 10 businesses for ourselves. We've raised over $250 million in both debt and equity for our own businesses. And we've helped raise over $1 billion for other businesses that we've worked with over the years. Yeah, so that's sort of a little bit about us. And what we are doing now is we said, okay, we're going to hit the reset button on us. And we have been working with companies here at the Downtown Project in Las Vegas to raise them capital, true equity capital, not just sort of crowdfunding, pre-selling your product, but actually true equity capital to develop your business and grow your business.
Yeah, so you guys are taking the lessons that you've learned of the past couple decades, really, of being entrepreneurs and making it accessible to entrepreneurs that are looking to raise money today, right? So you're kind of a matchmaker for an entrepreneur and a potential investor.
That's correct.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about what that process looks like. If I'm an entrepreneur and I want to come to you, what happens?
I think the biggest challenge is this catch-22. You need to have a business to get money from a bank, but in order to get money from the bank, you need to have an operating business with 2 or 3 years of positive cash flows and revenues.
Right.
And so people go out and try to raise money. It's very difficult. And ever since the credit crisis, what we call small cap market, which is businesses under $100 million market cap, have a very, very difficult time in raising money just because of the fact that a lot of these guys that invested in this arena don't have any money anymore either, or they've gone out of business themselves. And so it's become increasingly more important now to have these contacts for companies that are looking to raise not $10 or $20, $30 million, but maybe get that first $50,000, $200,000 to get you on that road. It's really that seed stage capital that's extremely difficult to raise. And that's where we excel in. We know that arena very well, having started our businesses. We also know our accredited investors are very often also successful entrepreneurs. They understand that arena. So there are a couple of paths you can take to raise money. Some of it is the crowdfunding route. Like if you have a consumer product, and only if you have a consumer product, you could potentially pre-sell your product. But then there's a lot of other companies or industries out there, technology. Let's say you got the latest news.com.
Mm-hmm.
You might, who knows, you might be creating the new Ebola vaccine in pharmaceuticals or telecom. It doesn't matter. Those types of businesses require equity investment.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something you can get on the internet through crowdfunding. And so that's exactly where we help out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also the toughest part to get money. And you really have to put together a great team of individuals and a great presentation that captures investors' eyes right away.
Right.
I think one of the experiences that I've had is that investors, like myself, I invest in companies as well, we have really short attention spans.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to grab our attention right at the beginning. I don't have time, with the amount of deals that come across my table, to read a 100-page business plan. In fact, actually, I will say I have actually never written a business plan. All right. Most of my business plans end up being sort of these roadshow presentations. And the reason why I don't write business plans is because after 5 minutes with your first investor, you might as well rewrite everything.
Okay.
So that's the key. And a lot of these guys don't read all those details. They want conceptual ideas and they want to be able to get to the point very quickly.
Okay.
And I think that's where the tough part is, condensing all your thoughts into something that can be easily digested.
Mm-hmm.
And the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid, for people to understand.
To kind of paint the picture, the average investor, how many deals are they seeing a week?
Well, if I go by my own experience, I'm looking at probably 20, 30 deals come across my table every week. And
okay.
It's just from your own contacts, from people sending you an email, hey, check out this link, check out this company.
Mm-hmm.
I get calls. And your own network of contacts, whether that's lawyers or whatever else, and they're a very connected bunch to start with, you know, they will call you and say, hey, would you like to take a look at this? So it really depends on how active you are. I have a very narrow niche that I look at, and I like startups. And that's really, there's not that much that comes across your table, but I'd say about 20, 30 deals.
This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
So what, even with those 20, 30, how long are you spending on the average deal? And how quickly do you know that you're not interested?
I think within the first 5 minutes of reading something, you'll know whether you're interested in that particular transaction. Because either it's in an industry that you maybe know nothing about.
Okay.
Maybe it's in a geographic location. Like, I get stuff sent from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's nice, and I can actually read German and all that. I understand it. But, you know, if I'm not close to that investment, then it might not be my thing.
Okay.
But more importantly, I think it's if I like the idea, I will continue reading.
Okay.
And then the next thing I probably look at is, okay, I kind of have the idea. I look at the management team.
Okay.
I think it's very important to see who's actually behind this. Do they have some experience in this? And sometimes, not always, it's, you know, I'll just pick up the phone and call them. Because I find even a conversation on the telephone, real quickly, you can get all the answers that you want. And if that person understands their business, then they'll have the ability to answer it.
Right.
And I'm not saying you have to have 15 years experience in that particular business. I'll give you a good example. The first wind farm I built, I had no idea how to build a wind farm.
Why did you go for a wind farm?
Because I thought they were cool. You know, wind turbines were a cool piece of technology. I'm into airplanes, and I thought, wow, cool, let's build a wind farm.
Yeah.
At that point in time, I didn't know it took $1 million in 4 years to get through the development process. I didn't know it took another $35 million to build a darn thing. And all the regulatory headaches you had to go through, I just thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Right? And so for me, it was learning by doing. But I educated myself very quickly, and I had I brought people on board, partners, and strategic relationships that sort of reduced my learning curve. So if you're starting into a business and you have not a real good track record in that, bring in a partner. And I'll give you an example of what I did with my wind business. Wind was relatively new in the 2003 in North America, but it had been already very well developed in Germany and in France in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I found a German partner company that I brought in with, I think about, they made a $10,000 investment.
Okay.
But the biggest thing is I had a knowledge transfer agreement with them, and I was able to use their 120 employees for any questions that I might have for development, permits, assessments.
Wow.
Right? So now all of a sudden I had a team of 120 people that were not on my payroll that if I had a problem, I could pick up the phone and call and ask.
Yeah.
Right? And so now all of a sudden, I was able to acquire all that knowledge. And very quickly, if there was an investor that asked me a question, I said, well, I don't know, but I can get back to you maybe in half an hour.
Okay. Right? Right, right.
Pick up the phone, get the answer, call back. So
okay.
I think that's a real key.
Interesting. Yeah, that's probably even more valuable than the $10,000 investment.
Yeah.
And you're basically paying for a college degree in Windows.
Pretty much. Exactly.
That's
so
great.
So that's a good example.
Yeah.
You know? And that's something that we look for. If the management team doesn't have knowledge, do they have strategic relationships or partners that bring that to the table?
So really those should be set up oftentimes before doing the roadshow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think before you do a big roadshow, you want to have a very good understanding of your business model. You want to have gone through some pro forma calculations, some budgets, and you really need to make sure, are there certain partners that I need? So another good example is if you're starting a .com or something like that, great, you've got a domain name, you've got a designed website. Did you think about the fact that maybe getting that merchant account with PayPal might take you another month to get through the approval process?
Sure.
So these are sort of things where you have to at least have a package ready to go, even if it's conceptually or there's not all these questions might not have been answered yet, but you at least have to have a business ready. I think the best way to explain it is... it's almost like when you're staging your house for a sale or a Hollywood lot, all right? From the front on the Hollywood lot, that mansion looks like awesome, right? But in the back, it's 2x4s keeping it up.
Right.
So you have to stage your business in the sense that you have to have a framework around it, an architecture. And then you say, given the capital, I will start filling in the back, right? And that's sort of how you should be starting your business.
Okay. So say, you get through the front door and now you're having a conversation with the founders. What kind of qualities are you looking for in them? Or even what are some red flags that sometimes pop up that have kind of, you've decided not to invest there?
I think a lot of times when people start a business and they're sitting in front of, somebody that's willing to invest, they get scared. And they think they want to give all the answers. It's okay to say, I don't know.
Okay.
Rather than bullshitting your way through an answer, I don't know if I can say that on it.
Yeah,
but,
fine.
But rather than sort of not having the answer, say, I don't know, I will get back to you, right? And I think a good sign of a good management team, no manager, no management team, no CEO has all the answers, ever.
Right.
And so you need to be able to say, I don't have the answer to that right now, but I can get back to you on that particular note.
Okay.
So I think that BS factor sometimes in these presentations can get very, very high in a team that's really not so certain about their business.
Okay.
And we pick up on it right away because we've been there. We've been on that other side. We've been sweating bricks.
Yep.
And I think that's that's really in how a person interacts with you. It's a gut feeling.
Okay. Yeah. You told me the story about this Berlin hangar, and I was hoping you could elaborate on it a bit, because it really stuck with me on the value of pivoting.
Yeah, it's the ability to turn on a dime in your business.
Yeah.
So, like I said initially, when you write that business plan, after your first meeting or your first month of working, you have to rewrite everything because things change. And that's been true in every business I've ever started. Probably even in our business we have here, things change. The industry changes, and you have to be able to pivot. And I like to call it turn on a dime. So the good example was there was this blimp company in Berlin, which built, like, I think one of the largest structures on Earth, which was like this big blimp hangar. Well, unfortunately, there was no market for blimps. Nobody wanted a blimp because the Hindenburg picture is still in everybody's minds. And so what did these guys do? They turned it into an amusement park, a water park. And it, you know, now it has like 6,000 visitors per day, a multi-million dollar operation.
Yeah.
But, you know, going from a blimp company, investing millions into building this hangar and then turning it into a water amusement park, that's quite the pivot.
Yeah.
But it was successful, right? And
yeah.
So I think that's probably the best example I can give for pivoting.
Yeah. And I'm sure when they went into it, they were passionate about airplane hangars or blimps, or maybe they're going to use it for the military.
Right.
And they probably weren't passionate about a water park.
No.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, my guess would be that's so far off in left field, but they made it work.
Right.
And
there was probably some financial restructuring, maybe some changes in management along the way. But, you know, I think there's still the concept of pivoting is sometimes very people get so focused on their business and they have blinders on that they forget to see what's happening around them. And entrepreneurs are prone to do two things. They drink their own Kool-Aid, right? And they hate delegating and giving up their baby. And I think those are two of the key things that you need to be able to do is see what's happening around you, adapt to the market, and be able to delegate so you free up your time to actually not just do the day-to-day work, but be an owner of a business.
Right.
And I think that's the difference.
Right. How did you learn to do that?
Trial and error.
Okay. I mean, that's
no, I was lucky. I was very lucky over the years that I've had some amazing clients, which also happen to be amazing entrepreneurs. So Sir Richard Branson of the Virgin Group was one person.
Wow.
And very often I have his email address. I would just send an email and say, what do you think about this? And he said, don't go public, whatever you do, because you had a bad experience. And I was all excited, go
right.
public. And I'm like, oh, shoot. But in hindsight, I should have said, maybe not gone public during the credit crisis. But I think a lot of it is learning by doing. But if you can, try and find mentors.
Okay.
A team of mentors is very important. And this is also where smart money, all right, smart money comes into play. Smart money is not something you can get off a crowdfunding website. Once again, you pre-sell your product, you might have $1 million, but there's maybe some licensing, some technology issues, some, who knows,
barriers. There's a lot of unknowns.
A lot of unknowns
yeah.
that could cost you a lot more money. So wouldn't it be great to actually have an investor that has invested $500,000, let's say, for example, but has all the contacts in that industry so that when you're pushed up against the wall, and it has happened to me, you can pick up the phone and say, do you know somebody that has an answer to this?
Yeah.
And very often they'll be like, yeah, call Bob so-and-so. Here's his phone number. Give him a call. Right. And so that concept of smart money and mentoring is very important at the beginning for startups.
So what kind of questions would you ask as an entrepreneur to a potential investor to kind of see if they have the expertise that you need or if they're willing to give up those or, you know, make those introductions for you?
Very often we see all about the investor doing due diligence on the particular business.
Mm-hmm.
But very often people forget to actually do due diligence on the investor.
Yeah.
Who is this guy that's actually investing in me? So I have personally failed sometimes where people have invested a couple $1 million and it was a fund, but that particular individual was bipolar and had, you know, one day was great, the next day, like, you would just get yelled at on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly difficult you get into a very difficult situation. So you need to make sure that, is the individual that is investing in you, do they jive with you and your management team? It's very much a personality thing, right? Mm-hmm. The same as if you're looking at employees, do they fit our culture? You need to make sure that the investor fits that culture, because if they're very rigid and old school in their thinking and they're investing in a company that's very liberal, pivots on a dime from a blimp to a water park, sure. Right? Can that individual follow that? And so that's very important. Do they actually fit? Number two is you should always do some sort of a check on references before you accept any kind of money.
Would that be with other entrepreneurs that they've invested in?
Well, you can ask them to get some references too. I don't think anyone, if somebody were to ask me for a reference before I invest, I have no problem with that. Yeah. Because I know, you know, the people that I work with that will give me a good reference. And so I think that's also shows prudence on the management team side, right?
Right. So you recently wrote a book, Walking on Water. Tell me a little bit about why you wrote this book.
I think the title Walking on Water, actually the subtitle is An Entrepreneur's Guidebook, is essentially, like I said, you have an idea and you're trying to convince people to come on board. I have, in my years of being an entrepreneur, seen a lot of other people make big mistakes, successful entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would just take all my knowledge and condense it into a book that's a very easy, casual read. But I think it's sort of a must-read for any entrepreneur that's starting out a business, is trying to grow their business, or trying to take their business public. And they're very personal experiences that I've gone through, and I wanted to share that knowledge.
Nice. So is it your story, or is it like a how-to? What's the premise? What we learned from it?
A lot of it is a focus on how do I raise money?
Okay.
How do I hire the right team members? How do I, conduct due diligence on investors? All these things that we've sort of previously talked about. It's sort of a how-to book. It's not a step-by-step guide, but it's some thoughts and some lessons in each of these areas, whether that's sales, growth, raising money, human resources.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much. Where can we keep up with you and Kickster Inc. online?
Our domain, kxter.com. And you can sign up there to our newsletter. You also get some cool information every now and then from us about entrepreneurship and what to do and what not to do when you're raising money.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And while you're there, make sure you sign up for our newsletter, where twice monthly we send out actionable advice for entrepreneurs and exclusive links to AMAs with our guests. That's rocketship.fm. Sign up today. I want to tell you a story. The only way that I can, I'm just replacing a man that came before. Another man replacing me, that's just